you're done studying it. We're going to go back and look at some topical things when we're done here. All right. Exodus. Let's go to Exodus chapter number 40. Exodus chapter 40. The last chapter in the book of Exodus. But that doesn't mean this is the last lesson. We do have a lot more to discuss before we move on. And I'm thinking about moving on to Proverbs next, but we'll see what happens. So let's begin reading in Exodus chapter 40, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month," in other words, start the year this way, "on the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony, and cover the ark with the veil, and thou shalt bring in the table, and set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it. And thou shalt bring in the candlestick, and the light, and light the lamps thereof. And thou shalt set the altar of gold for the incense," or for the incense before the ark of the testimony, "and put the hanging of the door to the tabernacle. And thou shalt set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tents of the congregation. And thou shalt set the laver between the tents of the congregation and the altar, and shalt put water therein. And thou shalt set up the court round about, and hang up the hanging at the court gate. And thou shalt take the anointing oil, and anoint the tabernacle, and all that is therein, and shalt hallow it, and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy." All right, did you notice something? Because this is how God works. He starts with the inside, and he works his way to the outside. When people get saved, they're still carnally minded, and they start with the outside and work their way to the inside. In our preaching, in our church life, it's so easy to just put the emphasis on the outside, and then we end up downplaying the inside. But you know, if the heart, the thing is, if the heart is ever made right with God, then everything else is just going to take care of itself. So you get that heart right, and that's going to take care of things. If the inner man is true, pure, clean, right, then that outer man is going to follow. Can't be any other way. And so the Lord, he would always have us to begin with the inside. Okay, but what is the very starting place here? The Ark of the Covenant. It all begins with the Word of God. That's what's in that Ark. And the mercy of God, that mercy seat on top. And then everything else follows and flows from there. Okay, verse number 10. "And thou shalt anoint the altar of the burnt offering, and all his vessels, and sanctify the altar, and it shall be an altar most holy. And thou shalt anoint the laver and his foot, and sanctify it. And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and wash them with water." Okay, God does want his people clean, inside and out. Wash away that defilement, that dirt. Come before the Lord just as clean and as righteous as you can be. 13. "And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and anoint him, and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt bring his sons, and clothe them with coats, and thou shalt anoint them as thou didst anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. for their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Okay. All right, this priesthood. Now, they've had some very fine men that have stood and ministered before the Lord in that priestly office, and they've had some dreadful, some horrific, terrible men who occupied that station as well. And yet, despite the successes and the failures of man, God gave his word, and God will keep his word. If God made covenant and God made promise, God will fulfill those covenant promises. You can always count on God to do what he said he would do. Now, as I've pointed out many times before throughout this study, the great high priest, the fulfillment of all that Aaron typified and Aaron pictured, is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he pictured. And all the promises of God in him are yea and amen. In addition to that, Revelation 1 and verse 6, every saved man and woman has entered into a holy priesthood. 1 Peter chapter 2, and God has made us some wonderful promises. Well, some days we're all we should be as a Christian, okay, in this priesthood, okay? But some days, admit it, we're far from it. Some of God's people are fine examples of Christianity. Others are, well, they're a hindrance to the work. But by the grace and the goodness and the mercy of God, he keeps all the promises that he made to his church, just like he kept his promises to this Old Testament priesthood, the Levitical priesthood. Okay, verse 16. Thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. And it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month. Okay, that's talking about the second year after the Exodus, the departure from Egypt. On the first day of the month that the tabernacle was reared up. Okay, now additionally, Numbers 9, verses 1 to 3 says, on the 14th day of the first month, the Passover was kept. On the first day of the second month, the people were numbered. That's found in Numbers chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. So there are 50 days between Exodus 40, verse number 17, and Numbers chapter 10, verse number 11. Okay, so in between those verses, between Exodus 40, 17, and Numbers 10, 11, you have taking place the events that are recorded in all of Leviticus and Numbers chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. All of that is going to happen in less than 2 months, the whole book of Leviticus and the first 10 chapters of Numbers. Okay, there's an ascending scale you also might want to note, take a look at. In the court, you've got brass and silver that were being used. In the holy place, silver and gold were used. In the holiest of all, the most holy, holy of holies, only gold was used. All right, in the court, you have the light of nature. In the holy place, moving inward, the light of the candlestick. In the holy of holies, the light of God's glory. In the court, outside, ordinary people enter by the gate. In the holy place, only the priests, sons of Aaron. But in the holy of holies, the high priest alone. Okay, that's God's design. Okay, read some more. Verse 18. And Moses reared up the tabernacle and fastened his sockets, and set up the boards thereof, and put in the bars thereof, and reared up his pillars. And he spread abroad the tent over the tabernacle, and put the covering of the tent above upon it, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he took and put the testimony into the ark. Okay, testimony, that's God's words written on those tables of stone from Exodus 25, verse 16. And set the staves on the ark, those poles that go through the rings, and put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle and set up the veil of the covering, as prescribed in chapter 26, verses 33 to 35, and covered the ark of the testimony as the Lord commanded Moses. You see the theme there? Verse 16, Moses did what God told him to do. Verse 19, Moses did what God told him to do. Verse 21, verse 23, verse 25, verse 27, verse 29. It's a pattern in the life of Moses to obey God completely. And that's why he was a great man. That's why. Verse 22, and he put the table in the tent of the congregation upon the side of the tabernacle northward without the veil. And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he put the candlestick in the tent of the congregation over against the table on the side of the tabernacle southward, okay, the opposite side of the table. And he lighted the lamps before the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he put the golden altar in the tent of the congregation before the veil. And he burnt sweet incense thereon, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he set up the hanging of the door of the tabernacle. And he put the altar of burnt offering by the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and offered upon it the burnt offering and the meat offering, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and put water there to wash withal. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet thereat. Okay. When they went into the tent of the congregation, and when they came near unto the altar, they washed, as the Lord commanded Moses. So here's what, when I read that, here's what I wonder as I think about my life, and as I think about yours, as I think about how men live their lives. I wonder if someone wrote a description of my career as a worker, as an employee, my secular employment, I wonder, could they write that I had such and such a job, and I worked at such and such a place, and I did such and such a thing as the Lord commanded me? and then look at your life. You know, you took a wife, you took a husband, you married, you had children, you raised those children. I wonder if the tale of your marriage and the tale of your child raising could be concluded with these words, as the Lord commanded. Our church life, our leisure life, our entertainment, our activities. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if, when the books were opened, that the tale, those books that told the tale of our lives, that over and over again, God would have written, as the Lord commanded, we did it. and put your name right there. Okay? They did such and such, and this and that, as the Lord commanded. You have to admire the fidelity of Moses. You have to admire the dedication, the adherence to truth, to right, that we see here in the part of Moses. I sure do. Okay, let's read some more. Verse 33. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Now that word so, it's put in summary. You can see that, but it also has to do with the manner, the nature of the work. How did he do it? He did it as the Lord commanded. All right, now watch carefully. All that we've been reading the last several lessons, I know it's been tedious, more detailed than most people are interested in, probably, and not as thrilling as some of the grand stories that we read in the Bible. Here we're reading about ouches and sockets and pillars and boards and the size of this and the size of that and the overlaid here and the woven there, things like that. And yet, after all these people followed the leadership of Moses in laboring to build this tabernacle, and after Moses directed and led so that everything that was done in perfect accord with God's will and God's word and God's commandments, the Bible says, then, not a moment sooner, verse 34, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Okay, now listen carefully, please. The glory of the Lord did not fill that place because God is captivated by goat-skinned curtains. Oh, look at those curtains. I'm going to go bring my glory down there. The glory of the Lord did not fill that place because God, he's just irresistibly attracted to boards and sockets and pillars. The glory of the Lord did not fill that place because God had never seen anything as beautiful as that, all that table of showbread or a brazen altar. I'm telling you, the glory of God came and filled that dwelling place because the Lord delights to fellowship with his people, and he will do so when those people are found being obedient to him. When his words were specifically obeyed, when his commandments were carried out to the letter, by willing-hearted men and women, when that thing was finished to God's specifications, both inside and out, then the glory of the Lord came and filled that place. Well, there's another dwelling place in Scripture where God took up residence. When Solomon built the great temple on Mount Zion, the building blocks, you know, the size, the dimensions, the shape, the architecture, the woodwork, the ornaments, the furniture, the decorations, when everything was done to God's specification in accord with God's words and God's commandments, the Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 8 that the glory of God came and filled that dwelling place. And there's a third dwelling place on earth for man where God comes to dwell with man. It's the New Testament church, the bodies of saved, born-again believers. In 1 Corinthians 6, we're told that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, the Lord gave some very specific instructions to his infant church, okay, brand new church, and as that infant church waited in the upper room, you read about that, we've studied that in Acts chapter 1, when they waited there, they did exactly what God told them to do. They were exactly where God told them to be. Their hearts and their minds were exactly as God had instructed. And what happened? The glory of God came and filled that upper room where they were all sitting in one accord. All right, now listen, I'm not going to go into detail in this study here tonight. I've given the details before, but I'm telling you, people come up with all kinds of man-made notions and speculations as to what it means to be filled with the Spirit or how to be filled with the Spirit. I'm telling you this, the tabernacle was filled with the glory of God when those people were in complete and perfect obedience to the Word of God. The glory of God filled that temple, the temple of Solomon, and he did that when the people of God there were acting in complete and perfect obedience to the Lord. And the glory of the Lord filled that place where the New Testament church was assembled when those people were living in perfect obedience and complete obedience to the Word of God. You want to be filled with the Spirit? Stop trying to do things of your own invention. Stop trying to follow patterns of your own devising and obey what God says. Obey the words of God. That's how you do it. Now, watch this. Verse 35 says, "And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." The glory of God sent those in that place out from that place, away from that place, to declare, to manifest, to speak forth, to show forth that the glory of God had come and filled the dwelling. In the passage in 1 Kings, the glory of the Lord came and filled that place, the temple. And when it did, those people, they were driven out of that place to declare and to show forth that the glory of God had again come upon that dwelling. And as I'm sure you know, you've got it figured out, on that day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when the glory of God came and filled that upper room, those men and women, they were driven from that place to declare and to manifest that God had come in His glory. That's how it always is. If you ever get filled with the glorious Spirit of the living God, nobody's going to have to tell you to go out and witness. Nobody will have to tell you to speak up for the Lord. Nobody will have to compel you to make known what God has done for you. The fullness of God's glorious Spirit will drive you forth so that you want to make known the goodness of the Lord and the wonder of His presence. That's just how it works. Now, verse 36. "And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys." Okay, they went onward when the cloud was taken up. Okay, so the Lord led them with that pillar of cloud. And when the cloud moved, they moved. When the cloud became stationary, they stopped right there. 37, "But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night." You remember chapter 19, chapter 24 as well, when the glory of the Lord was upon Mount Sinai, that whole mountain was on fire, but it was not consumed. This pillar of fire resting on this tabernacle and not consuming the wood, the skins, the fabric, well, that's miraculous. It's supernatural. That's God. I mean, that's all flammable stuff. It should burn up, but It's not. It's a miracle. The cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? They're seeing this every day. And you know, I don't want to throw a negative note in here because, well, Exodus doesn't end on a negative note. It actually ends on a positive note. But you really do. You have to wonder as you read about all the failure of the people in Leviticus and in Numbers and in Deuteronomy, how could they do the things they did with that pillar of fire shining right in front of their eyes and that pillar of cloud glowing right there in front of their eyes? I just wondered. But I don't want to end this book that way. That's a negative thought. So let's look back with me to Genesis and listen to the end of that book. Last words of Genesis, chapter 50, verse number 26, says, "So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt." In a coffin in Egypt. That book doesn't end on a high note. So you know how Exodus begins with the children of Israel seeing their babies killed and their men, women, and children serving as slaves to Pharaoh. But you know how the book ends? It ends with the glory of God abiding day and night with the children of Israel. God with them. Well, think about it. Did they deserve that? No. Did they earn that? Certainly not. But God, by his power, God, by his grace, God, because he just set his love upon those people. Well, look where he's brought them. He has brought them from bondage into the light and liberty that comes from his presence. All right, well, are you saved? Let me ask you this. Did you earn it? You didn't earn it. You didn't merit it. You didn't deserve it. You can't pay for it. I could say that over and over again. And I have. But God, by his grace, and God, by his goodness, has not only brought us out of darkness, but into his marvelous light. Not only has he set us free from being the devil's captives, but he's chosen to abide with us forever, to dwell with us, that he might be our God and we might be his people. Well, praise to his holy name. What a savior. What a savior. Now, that is the last verse of Exodus. Like I said, we're not through with this study yet. Got a few more lessons, some random notes on Exodus, some things of interest regarding Moses. The Bible has a lot to say about Moses, and we didn't talk about. So it'll be a while before we start something new. But I hope you're enjoying this book. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your holy word. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts tonight through your word and by your spirit. And we pray, Lord, that you'll continue to guide and direct our thoughts and our hearts as we want to learn more and more from you. And we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to grow in the Spirit, to be filled with your Spirit, and to be pleasing in our lives to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.